Oh, it's another week, and that means it's another podcast. You're on the Rugby Pass podcast. Scotty Stevenson this week joined for our Northern Hemisphere perspective by Tom Hamilton, ESPNScrum.com rugby editor. And Tom, first and foremost, the perception that Saracens already has one hand on the Premiership title. Let us discuss.
Yeah, that's, Premiership's already over. Two rounds down, they're going to absolutely walk it. We may as well all go home and play for second place. No, they've got this astonishing ability to kind of just slowly evolve and morph from one sort of team to another. So over the summer, they signed three players, Scott Berger, Alex Lazowski, and the Fijian winger, Rowaka. Scott Berger's already settled straight into the back row, world class, and now that's just kind of gone on to a different level. Owen Farrell's been injured. Lazowski, this young fly half who they got from Wasps, has slotted straight in. He's like a young sort of Nick Evans, that sort of slightly rangy, delightful pass, likes to break the line, slightly bizarre kicking style, but he's just honestly keeping things ticking over. And, you know, maximum points in the first two games. Against Worcester, they were sluggish, but managed to close it out. Against Exeter, they were completely brilliant. Believer the pilot was cross-kicking, offloading off his left hand, the whole lot. I mean, it was Harlan Globetrotters, but really, really effective as well.
The problem for other teams is they seem to be chasing not just a good rugby team, but also a strategy that has been implemented over the last 3 to 4 seasons, which has proved to be an unbeatable strategy most of the time for Saracens. What, in your mind, makes them such a dominant team? Because a lot of the other clubs have the similar attacking philosophies, have similar scrummaging philosophies, have similar fly halves who can put teams in the right part of the field. So what is it about Saracens that make them so much better at the moment?
Good question. I think if you could bottle it, it's something that Eddie Jones has tried to bring to England as well. I think it's this sort of almost inner belief that something that the All Blacks have got, that whatever score you're at, whatever stage of the game you're at, you can still win the match. And then they always seemingly do at the moment. I mean, they're on a great unbeaten run. Maro Itoje, the last time he lost a game that he started for Saracens was May 2015. And when you look at that in isolation, is a stat that's truly remarkable. That's over a year now. I mean, that's sort of All Blacks proportions in itself. And this is a club, a domestic player as well. And they have this sort of thing where, that if, as I said before, if someone's injured, they can slot another player in at a moment's notice. They know the system. They know exactly what they have to do. The game plan's perfect. And it's the same with the coaches as well. There's this continuity there where, for example, Gus Stard left, went to England. They promoted from within. And then they keep this churn going the Saracens way, and I think that all kind of adds up to this feeling of invincibility. And so far, I mean, we're only two games in, but they do look to be playing sort of rugby above everyone else, really, in the league at the moment.
That stat on Maro Itoje is absolutely insane. But a little discussion on him, because I noted today reading the press, I mean, he is the talk of the Premiership at the moment, his form at the moment. What do you put this run down to for Itoje?
He's just a player of a generation, really. I mean, ever since he was 16, he's sort of the player you heard about. If it was now, I mean, and we had an Itoje come through now, he'd be a social media superstar like that. The kid this morning we saw rampaging through Australian defences on whatever his name, the Man Beast. But it's now, it's absolutely insane. I mean, when you speak to him as well, there's as you will when he's on Lions duty next year, because there's one player nailed on to be a Lion, it's Maro Itoje. He's wise beyond his years. He's so intelligent. And this sort of, again, this grounding within the Saracens way has led him to become this sort of a talismanic figure. He's only 22 now, I think, 21, 22, but he's already developed. I mean, Eddie Jones wants him to have a few more scars on his face, be a bit more battle-hardened. But he's the Johnson incarnate figure at the moment.
Well, I'm glad you brought up Eddie Jones, because Eddie Jones is at it again this morning, your time, on the All Blacks. Let us just have a recap for us, Tommy, of Eddie Jones' latest remarks.
Well, we spoke to him earlier this morning at Pennyhill Park, and he was talking about the All Blacks. He says, at the moment, they're 3% better than the rest of the world. And then in his mind, what he's trying to say is that they are clearly the world's best team. And he does say that. He says, look, they are, I think, quote, they're a bloody good team. And he goes on to speak about them. But he says that 3% margin is something in his mind that he learnt when he was at the Brumbies, when I think in his first season they finished 10th. Mm. And he's looking at the stats and found they're only sort of 3% off the other teams. So I think that's what he's trying to allude to. I mean, there's absolutely no doubt that the All Blacks are playing vastly superior rugby to anyone else at the moment. Eddie says that he can see some weaknesses in the game. He wouldn't tell us what, but the reality is England won't play the All Blacks again until 2018. So there's a lot of time there, a lot of perhaps nice platitudes to be levelled between the two teams until they finally meet on the field.
It surprises me that Eddie Jones wouldn't tell you about what weaknesses he saw in the All Blacks side, but I can safely say to you, Tom, while you guys love eating Eddie Jones comments like popcorn over there, I think there's more than 3% between the All Blacks, South Africa and Australia right now, and that's certainly the all-consuming talk in New Zealand about how well the South African side will fare. But I'll leave that aside for a second. Eddie Jones has gone quiet in a certain way. And comments like this, I am reminded of his former Prime Minister's great line. He may just be a shiver looking for a spine to crawl up right now, Eddie Jones. For there is no way he can prove nor disprove any of his theories on this All Black side until, as you mentioned, a couple of seasons down the track. What has he been doing behind the scenes to keep himself front and centre in the eyes of the rugby public?
That's a good question. I mean, he spent the summer sort of working with the coaches. So they spent time with the triumphant Team GB coaches who led them to hockey gold after their stunning win in the semi-finals over New Zealand. And then...
did you have to bring that up?
Also with the judo and with cycling. Yeah, just had to. just to drop that in. But, so that's what he's been doing, working with the coaches. He's been spending a lot of time going around the Premiership. And now I think, as you know, the game against South Africa, that's their first one of the awesome series, comes over closer. I expect we'll hear a bit more from Eddie. I imagine he'll be talking about various things. I mean, over here at the moment, the Lions is really dominating the agenda, even though it's, I don't know, what, 9-10 months away. That's certainly already something to build up with the Gatland announcement last week. Eddie Jones is going to have a say about the players. Gatland said as much. He said that England being in the form they are is fantastic for the Lions because suddenly you've got a group of 15 players who are bringing them confidence and will really fancy a crack at the All Blacks.
Gatland's already experienced this once when he went to Australia, when he won that series in the third test, when he picked, I think, was 13 Welshmen in that side. He's already felt the wrath of some of the more traditional European fans. Certainly Brian O'Driscoll didn't let his disappointment go unnoticed. Was quite happy for the agitators to make a point that Gatland had got his selections wrong. Do you see Eddie Jones and England rugby maybe fulfilling that role when it comes to the Lions tour if Gatland indeed picks players maybe outside of England's frame of reference, maybe outside of where the England game sees the best players being?
No, I don't think so. I think the way Gatland is at the moment, I think Gatland would have learnt a huge amount from that tour in 2013. I know from speaking to him over the intervening years that backlash, the vitriol, he called it in the last week, did get to him. He was surprised by the level of animosity which was levelled in his direction when he made what proved to be and was at the time completely the correct call. In terms of Eddie Jones' influence, they'll be in Argentina at the time when the Lions are over in New Zealand. So Eddie will be have his hands full there. He is, in fact, kind of promoting the Lions at the moment. So he really wants Gustard, the assistant coaches, perhaps Paul Gustard and Steve Borthwick, to go on Lions duty to help develop under Gatland, to get this sort of other perspective, learn about the other players, go and coach a team in New Zealand. So I think with Eddie in England, I think they'll be really behind it rather than being the ones saying, oh, why aren't you picking so-and-so in this test match? You should be there.
I love your faith in this guy. It's like you've just met him.
Well, he's got me on a fitness regime. So,
the truth comes out. Eddie Jones has got you on a fitness regime. Please talk me through this.
Yeah. Well, it happened in New Zealand, and I ended up... No, not New Zealand, sorry. It happened in Australia. I ended up losing 8 kilos in 3 weeks. Because he was...
What has he done? He taped your mouth shut?
In the gym, and then it's... today it was more of the same. Unfortunately for me, the press conference we were in was in the gym, so at Penny Hill. And that was just, you know, absolute manna from heaven for Eddie. So his face lit up when he saw me sweating across the room. It's hotter than the Velodrome in Rio here. It's absolutely boiling. And then, yeah, that was kind of the theme of the press conference. I think I got name-checked more than any player. So there we go.
You be careful, mate. If he starts stretching out, putting you on the rack, you've got to watch your back. Hey, I want to go back to the Premiership, though, mate, because there's another player there who you have called a reinvented man, and that is Jimmy Gopith, of course, played for the Hurricanes in New Zealand, played for Wellington, went to the UK some years ago, I think his first season with Newcastle back in 2009, Tom. Now, however, after being the Golden Boot on a couple of occasions in the Premiership, he has washed up in London and is playing the house down in a very different position.
Well, it was London, so no, but of course Wasps are now up in Coventry.
That's true, sorry.
So we've got, so he's playing inside centre. He's still the Golden Boot, but he's playing alongside Cipriani. So in their win at Leicester last Saturday, I think he knocked over 14 points and scored a try. And he also, there was this wonderful move where, I think it was in the first game against Exeter, where he stood up the winger and went round him. Like, I don't know if you remember Anthony Watson's try in the build-up to that horrendous World Cup from an England point of view, but he did it against France, where he stood him up, dodged him round. I mean, it's something which Naheem Mills kind of did on, I don't know, countless occasions, but it's that sort of movement. And this is Gopith, someone who, when he was at Leinster, was, in my opinion, unfairly criticised for perhaps being slightly one-dimensional as a fly half. Yeah. He's showing his all-court action, and he seems to be loving life. And I mean, they do have injuries, so they're waiting on Carl Eason to come back, they're waiting on Kirtley Beale, and then they've got Elliot Daly there, the promising England centre. So Gopith may find his time at inside centre short-lived, but at the moment, he's going to make life really tough for Dai Young when those other players do come back.
I like Wasps. I like what they're doing under Dai Young. I liked them last year as well, but how much of their form last year was down to Charles Piatau, and how much of that form can they recreate this season without such a talented player in their back three?
It's a great point. I mean, Piatau, for me, for my money, last season was the best player in Europe. He's just absolutely incredible. And the great thing about him, and I know it sounds like perhaps a slightly ridiculous point to make, but he's such a nice bloke as well. And when you chat to him, he just obviously loves playing rugby. He loves getting on, you know, with people and so forth. And that was at Wasps. Now at Ulster, I mean, Wasps have recruited pretty well over the summer. I mean, in terms of where they were 4 years ago, they didn't have a pound to scrape together. But now they've brought in Kirtley Beale. They've also got Willie LaRue coming along, the Springbok fullback. So he's currently in Japan, I believe, and he'll be coming after that stint. So suddenly they've got this back line which has potentially LaRue fullback, and then you've got Frank Haller on the wing, Christian Wade on the wing, Kirtley Beale, Elliot Daly, Cipriani at 10. And then Joe Simpson or Dan Robson, two really live wire scrum halves, to keep it all ticking along. So, I mean, in terms of that sort of backline, that's probably one of the best backlines in Europe, if not the best, I imagine.
Well, let's move on to another club a little closer to your heart. That, of course, is Bath. All the story in the off-season was about the signing of former Crusaders coach Todd Blackadder. And they got off to a pretty good start in the Premiership and an historic victory as well to start the season. Is there a bit of a love affair growing at the Wreck at the moment regarding Todd Blackadder and what may be possible for this Bath side?
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I think it's they just seem to be loving life at the Wreck at the moment. The only bad thing about that victory was with my mother's 60th in the evening. By the time it started, I was already 7 pints down. But it was that was quite a sizable blow with the speech waiting as well. But it was they're playing with a confidence. I mean, Newcastle, they really did underperform at the Wreck. That's the worst I've seen them, and it's probably one of the worst teams I've seen at the Wreck in however long. They were dreadful. But from the players' point of view, George Ford is back to his best, which is wonderful to see. And then they're getting the best out of these youngsters. They ended up having this debutant, Zach Mercer, who's a back row, ended up finishing on the wing.
Yeah.
Because of the injuries they've got at the moment. So, they're playing with the confidence. It's early stages. They're lacking cover in the centres. I think Robbie Frewen, from the sound of things, is close to coming over. They re-signed Leroy Houston on a short-term deal to bolster the back row options today because Denton's up for 4 months, Faletau's up for 8 weeks, and then Francois Lowe's off with the Springboks. So they're lacking resources here and there. Maybe a loose head short as well. So I think it's only going to be next season when we really see the Blackadder blueprints along with Tabai Matson. But the early signs are promising. The players are really happy. That's not to say they weren't happy in the previous regime, but something clearly wasn't right there. And there's many whys and wherefores with that, but that's for another day. But it's for the time being, they do seem extremely happy. And early signs are pretty promising.
Well, I mean, you've got to look at the stats. George Ford, top point scorer so far in the Premiership. Samisa Rokodoguni is the most metres gained. He's made the most clean breaks. I mean, this already looks like a Todd Blackadder blueprint, doesn't it? Put a first five who can kick goals at 10 and put a very fast Fijian on the wing. That's the Crusaders' recipe for success.
Well, the bad news for Todd is that there may be some other similarities with the way that they might get to the final but then lose to Saracens, because it is that sort of thing where it's Saracens so far. I know, keep them getting on about them, but they are on another level. But Bath, you know what, if they can... They've always had a reputation for playing an expansive game. In the past, John Connolly, when he was there, kept it to the front eight and they tried to bully teams. And then, I mean, the wingers probably got hypothermia on a game-by-game basis because they just didn't move. But it seems to be a bit more expansive. George Ford's doing a lot of kicking, but it's doing, as you say, kicking to the wings and unleashing Rokodoguni. You can always see the sort of the blueprint of the Carter kicks over to the Dag or whatever back in the days of the Crusaders. But this is, it was easy on the eye. It was good fun. And the players seem to be, as I said, really enjoying it.
Well, round three kicks off Friday, your time, European time. Look, what is the game of the round for you, Tommy? If you had to sit down and say, I'm not missing this one, which one would it be?
Now, that is a very good question. Off the top of my head, I'm not sure, because I haven't yet looked at the fixtures. Give me 2 seconds.
I can give you a tip. I wouldn't bother watching Sale against Gloucester. I would think that Bath would be too good for Worcester. I think maybe Harlequins and Exeter may be the game for me. Two exciting teams, and both of them need to start proving a point.
Yeah, that sounds like a good one. Exeter Harlequins, Saracens Northampton as well. So I think the Exeter Harlequins, that's a good shout there. Exeter has started the season really slowly instead of Harlequins. Exeter just don't seem to have found their rhythm, which they had at the end of last season. Henry Slade looked a little bit out of sorts, and he is arguably England's most gifted playmaker. Jack Knowles injured as well, so it's just a case of trying to find some sort of early season form. Harlequins looked really sluggish in their opening against Bristol and didn't look a lot better in their game away at Sale last Friday night. So they'll be looking for some sort of recovery, I imagine. Saracens Northampton, Saracens should win that, but Northampton did play well against Bristol last weekend. And as for Sale Gloucester, Sale should win that quite comfortably.
Tom Hamilton, ESPNScrum.com. Thank you very much for joining us on the Rugby Pass podcast for this week. Don't forget, every single match of the Aviva Premiership live on Rugby Pass, so make sure you get amongst that. And of course, we will follow developments with the Lions as they come to light. And also, Tom, we will talk next time about a bit of French code as well. I see it's all in brawls over in France. Not surprising.
Beautiful.